Okay, Taf Tzadi Zayin, Seif Yod Gimel. Okay, so here we're discussing where you set aside some of the birds and we're wondering if maybe they got switched with other birds. Are they muksa or not muksa? So Yod Gimel, Zimen Shlosha Umatza Shnayim Mutarim. You set aside three of them in one spot and you come back and there's two of them. Mutarim, it's mutter. Those two that are remaining are mutter. We assume that one of the three left, and your two are left behind. They're muchan from before Yom Tov. And we're not assuming that because one left, all of a sudden we're assuming these all three left and two new ones came. Okay? V'afilu hayu mekusharim biyachad menatche mehadadi. So even if they were all tied up, and then you come back and you see them untied. It's normal for animals, even some people are able to get themselves, wiggle themselves out of knots. And that's not a raya, that it must be different birds. Okay. Yudalek. Zimen betoch haken umata lifni haken. Asurin. If you set them aside in a particular nest, and these are the birds that you're going to shecht for Yom Tov, comes Yom Tov and you find that they're not there. They're near the nest. They're around the area, but they're not in the nest. They're not on like the little threshold or some kind of a platform right next to the nest. They're a little bit beyond. So then the Asrabis were afraid that maybe these are different birds. Just like they were able to walk away kilu from the petach, the doorway or the nest itself. So then just like they're able to walk away, other birds can walk in their place. It's not even in the same nest. Ve'im in siwatim ken acher hare elu mutarim. But within, we're going to see it's within 50 amos. There's no other nest in the area. This is the only nest within 50 amos. Then it is mutar, even if it's away from the nest. As long, right, within 50 amos. Okay.
Does it have to be these ones?
We assume it's these ones. I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but right, that's our assumption. You set them aside. Chazaka, these are the ones, and you can use them. Alright, there's no other nest within 50 amos. V'hani mile b'medadim. Now, what are we talking about? Which kind of birds or chicks are we talking about? That they're the ones that are able to hop around, wobble around, walk around, little jumps, whatever, but they're not flying around. Im heim mafrichim, but if they're able to fly all around, asurim. So once they're away from their nest, even if it's close by, but they're away from the nest, then they're aser. Even if there's no other nest within 50 amos, because we're assuming that birds, right, these can fly. So you lose that chazaka, they could have flown away, other ones could have flown in their place just as easy. The concept of 50 amos doesn't mean anything anymore once you're talking about flying birds. Even if there's another. Now we're going back to they're just able to hop around, and you're still within 50 amos. There's another qualification here. Im hu bekeren zavit she'en yachol lirot miken ze kevan she'enam africhim ela medadin mishum deko heichad. I'm sorry. If it's around a bend or a corner and they can't see itself, where you find them to where the nest was, there's not a straight line visible access. Okay, so let's keep reading. Mishum deko heichad medade velo hader chazei lekinei lo medade. As long as these are not flying birds, we're talking about birds that are hopping around, as long as they can't be within 50 amos, we said, or they can't see their nest wherever they are, they're not going to go back. So if they hobbled around and they, purpose, not on purpose, doesn't matter, they moved around and now they can no, around the bend, the corner, they can no longer see their original nest, we assume they're not going to go back. So, therefore,
no, he's saying that they wouldn't go there.
They wouldn't go or they also wouldn't go. Right, they also wouldn't go. Very good. They wouldn't even go there. So the point is, you no longer have a chazaka to say that these are the same ones. And okay.
Why not? Thank you. They're not in their own nest.
Well, they're not in their nest, and you see them somewhere else. So do we assume that these are the same ones that you set aside Erev Yom Tov in their nest, or are there other birds from the street,
if
or your neighbor?
Another nest around the corner,
There wouldn't have been birds that can't fly from around the corner.
Even if there's no nest around the corner.
Even if there is a nest around the corner.
Either way. I'm saying either way, once it's around the corner, you no longer have a chazaka that those are the same birds that were in
the nest. Only saying that even if there is another nest within 50 amas, but it's around the corner, you still have the chazaka.
You don't.
You do.
You don't. I'll read it again inside with you. You need both. You need to be straight line visible, and it has to be within 50 amas. You need both in order for it to be mutter. V'im hizmen toch hakein umatza al petach hakein mutar. Okay. But if it's, the Rama points out, that's what I alluded to before, if it's on the doorway kilu of the nest, mamish right there, it's like on a little platform, whatever, it's right there, then that's still considered in the same nest. Then it's mutter. Then we can assume that it's the same ones. Okay. We'll go over it afterwards, no problem. Tedvav. Any Yehudi Shehevi Dor on Israel Biyom Tov. Beneyona Ktanim Mishovachot Shiyesh Lo Ba'ir. Kivan She'ein Srichim Tseida Mutarim. So a non-Jew, he brings a present for his fellow Jew on Yom Tov. He brings them little birds, chicks, that are not flying around. So since they're not able to fly around, we say they're not mechusar tzeda. They're not lacking to be caught. So then, mutarim. Or if they were caught in a small cage from Erev Yom Tov, whatever the situation is, if there's no issue of tzeda, so then, mutarim, you're allowed to eat them. Because there's no problem. What are the two issues we're always worried about? It's tzeda. So we just discussed, we're eliminating, we're eliminating the case of tzeda in this case. Let's say they can't fly. Or they're not muksa. In other words, you can't use a bird that wasn't set aside to normally be used for eating teshacht on Yom Tov. So normally, if you have... anyways, so when it comes to a non-Jew, there's no issue of muksa. There's no issue that he set them aside not to eat or to eat. When it comes to a goy, he doesn't have a lachos of muksa. So since he's the owner and it belonged to him, memela we say there's no iser of muksa on them, and memela becomes as if it's muchan. It's as if it's muchan, not exactly, but it's as if it's muchan, and there's no iser muksa whatsoever.
So why is it a problem of tzeda?
Why is it a problem of tzeda? So in this case, there is no problem with tzeda. So therefore, he's able to bring it. A goy shehevi doron yom tov mutarim. If a goy brings you, right? There's no iser tzeda. If it would be, even if a goy would bring it for you, and he had to capture it on yom tov, then it is a problem.
That's my question. Why?
Because you're getting benefit from you're getting a benefit from a non-Jew on Shabbos of doing a malacha.
No, he was not mirlach. He did it on his own.
No, that's not wrong.
But he's doing it for you.
The problem is that they weren't muchan.
No, that's not a problem.
Yeah, they are. That's the problem. Look
in the... I did look at it. Okay. There's no muchan issues by a goy.
No, even if a Jew had brought those same birds, it would have been okay because they're not muchan to say
them. Right.
But a non-Jew, unless you had a mind to eat it, it's muksa, it's not mukhan.
So you also need that part.
Well, of course, you always need both. But by a goy, there's no issue of muksa.
Yeah.
There's no issue of mukhan. It's a mela, always mukhan. That's what I tried to say. Okay. We're going to see about tchum. We're going to see about a tchum.
There wouldn't be small birds that are not muksa.
Then it would
be a problem, even though the goy is always mukhan.
Unless it's in a little cage from Erev Yom Tov. Yeah. But the only point, the point of the Shulchan Aruch is you usually don't have to worry about the muksa point. Okay. With the non-Jew. We're going to see, it's going to come up a few more times, at least a couple more times, by Tchumin. Just to review, if a goy brings his bird of outside the Tchum, let's say he drove it to you from outside the Tchum, so if he brings it for you, whoever he brings it for, it's aser, because the bird did come outside of the tchum. And if he brings it, but if it's any other Jew, is allowed to benefit. That's a straight halacha we learned, and we're going to learn a couple more times. Okay, so, all right. This case wasn't discussing tchum. I just wanted to, so we don't get mixed up. Exactly. Sheish lo ba'ir, shkayach. We'll discuss the tchum inside soon. Ted Zayn. Hashochet behema b'yomtov. Now, you take your bird and you shecht it. Okay? Or your behema, your animal, whatever. Tov lo shelo yivdoch ad sheyafshit. The smart thing to do is telling you in Eitzah Tova, don't check the animal, don't do bedikah sereya, don't do any kind of bedikos that you need to do until after you flay all the hide. You remove all the skin. Okay? Why? She'im timatzeh. Shreifa, what happens if after, let's say you find out when you do bedikah, it turns out, hey, this is a treifa. So then the halacha is, lo yehi rashai lehafshita. You're not allowed to flay and remove the hide anymore. Even though you're going to lose money. So the Eitzah Tova is, we don't want you to lose money. Because if you don't do the, remove the, I'm not exactly sure, the Matthias, but if you don't remove the hide right away, you're going to lose money. It might be, it might get ruined, it might be too difficult later, whatever it is, it's going to get rotten, I don't know exactly, but the issue is, the Matthias, you will lose money. So he's telling you, take, as long as you don't know it's a treifa, you have a chazaka, rov animals are kshiras, and are not treifos. So as long as you don't remove it, you don't check it, it's 100% mutter to move. Hafshata is one of the lametet malachos. But you're allowed to do hafshata, it's a tzorach ochel nefesh. So do it now while it's still mutter versus afterwards. And I just checked with Rav Amitai ben David, who's one of the world experts on teaching Hilchos, Trefos, and Shechita, and all that. So he told me that Metzias is, I mean, we're going to see, it's Mishnah Berurah kind of says the same thing. He says, nowadays, the Metzias is, Rov animals are Ksheros and not Trefos. And therefore, you have no issue with milk and all the other Shailas that come up. Obviously, if they don't give them hormones, you have a better chance. But anyways, that's a little side issue. It is relevant coming up. But,
so you can check today on
Yom Tov? 100% you can. Lamaisa, we generally don't, especially animals. It's complicated. A lot of them we don't have, and then you're dealing with goyim, and who's going to go there, how are you going to eat it on your... I'm saying, Lamaisa, unless you do it in your house, a little tiny animal or a bird, it's pretty much impossible, Lamaisa, to do it, practically. And who wants to do it anyway? So, okay. And you have a lot to deal with. Who wants to deal with it and with other animals? And then there's money issues. Who's doing it for free? Okay. We're going to see a case also. We're going to see a little bit of the money brought in shortly. What I want to say? Now, it's true that most animals are not nowadays. With all of our chumras, it's true that most animals might not be ksheros, according to all of our chumras with pedikas. But Mi'ikar Adin, he said there definitely is a Rov Ksheros. Okay. Okay, Yud Zayin. Im Nimset Trefa. Now what happens if you find your animal after you do your bedika, you shecht it, you do your bedika, reya, whatever, lungs, and now it comes out to be a Trefa. So then, Asur Lataltala. Now it automatically becomes a Muksa. And you're not allowed to move it, even if it's in the heat, and you decided to shecht in the sun, it was easier for you, it's still mutter, it's still usher to move it, you can't even move it into the shade. Mishnah Berurah points out that it could be, it's really the Magen Avraham and many poskim, say nowadays it actually is mutter to move it in, because we're afraid maybe, with all of our chumras, nowadays usually they are usually trefos, the Mishnah Berurah writes in his time. And then you're going to end up having most animals are going to be trefos. And if you start telling people they can't move it into the shade or the refrigerator, then they won't even come to shecht, and it's going to ruin your Simchas Yom Tov because they're not going to eat. Whatever. But he says, Lamaisa, it's not usually done, as he pointed out. And for chicken, he says, that's for sure, it's still the din. So therefore, if you shecht the bottom line, you shecht the chicken, which could be a little bit matzoi, maybe, then you are, it's 100% muksa. Okay, because there isn't that most of them are definitely, the birds are definitely kosher, even nowadays, even with all the chumas. So he says, so that's for sure maksa. Okay. Anyway, aval mutar lemochal and Yehudi kedav chetu mechir liYisrael. But b'diavad, what do? You don't want to lose the entire animal, so you sell it to a non-Jew. We do that all the time. Shelo yish, but just has to be careful. You could even sell it on Yom Tov, but you need to give it to him right away before it gets spoiled. When it's fresh, he'll buy it. Afterwards, he's not going to buy it anymore. Shelo yishko v'lo yasker sechum damin. But you can't make a serious specified business deal. You just tell him, you don't even ray it out. You just tell him, here, this is yours. And we'll deal, obviously we know it's for sale. It's for the, whatever the normal rate is. And we'll deal with it later. The exact money. And if he doesn't believe him, which could be the case, yikach mimenu mashkon. So you can't have him sign a contract, but you can just, he can give you some kind of a mashkon to make sure he's going to pay you after Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch points out, by the way, this is all a din according to the Shulchan Aruch, where there's muksa. According to the Rama, he says, in a lot of cases, there's not a muksa issue, including this one. Although some say it could be because of Nolad. Okay, so it's a machlokas among poskei Ashkenaz. Is it muksa b'maisa or not?
Because it's a food for a
guy? Well, there might be no din of muksa and Yom Tov. Again, the truth is, we didn't discuss exactly many examples when it applies. But, and this could be a case of Nolad, because before it was an animal, now it's a piece of meat. So that's and that for sure the Rama does say there is muksa by nolad. I would say an example is even peels and pits. Before it was part of a fruit, and now it's considered something separate, it's considered waste. So many say that that's considered nolad for the din of muksa. So even though even banana peels or pits could be, I know if Kornfeld said that, but, okay. Let's see. Okay. Mishnah Berurah just points out, the only time you're allowed to sell is if it's going to go bad. If you can wait another hour, and don't sell it on Yom Tov, just sell it after Yom Tov, and only when it was shechted on Yom Tov or right before Yom Tov, and you didn't have a chance to sell it to a goy otherwise. But lechatchila, we don't want to try and sell it on Yom Tov. Okay. Tav tzadi chet dinei shechita b'Yom Tov. Okay, we'll get a little sample of your idea as we just started. Aleph, ein marin sakim lechacham biyom tov lirot im hu ra'ui lishchot bo. Now, it used to be often that the shochet, the custom was, he wouldn't just check the knife himself, he would bring it to a chacham, someone who's in charge of checking knives, and then he would check. That's how it would work. Nowadays, everyone just checks for themselves. Shema tihye peguma, what are we worried about? That this shochet, who's not, often wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he was just a shechter, a butcher, and he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he would go to the Chacham to check the knife. So we're afraid he's gonna, after he shows it to the Talmid Chacham, the Rav of the year, whoever, and he's gonna tell him, no, this is pagum, it has a pegimut, it has a little nicks, it's not smooth, you can't use it. Okay? So then what's he going to do? V'yilech v'chadedena v'mashchezet. And he's going to go take a stone and sharpen it on Yom Tov. And that for sure, we learned his answer. It depends. But we don't want him to do that. It's often usher to do that. Okay. So that's the reason for the gzeira. You're not allowed to show it to a chacham on Yom Tov. If you did show it b'di'evid and you said it was kosher, then it's kosher. You're allowed to use it. It's already a done deal. But lechatchila, you're not allowed to show it to him. Okay, but that's
not allowed to answer.
The chacham should probably not answer. That's correct. I can't imagine how it could be mutter for him to answer.
Maybe you should.
And then you're wondering how the chacham. I don't know. People make mistakes. The chacham shira'a sakin la'atzma. But a Talmid Chacham who is allowed to look at his own knife or on his own take a knife and then take a look at it and he sees it's kosher, so then he's allowed to pass it out. Yachol Ashila Acharim, he's allowed to pass it out to whoever. Because it's already, he himself did it. We know that when he checks it himself, he's not going to come to sharpen it. And he's the one who's passing out his own knife. So it's not a possibility of this chashash that this, the shochet is going to come to, sharpen his own knife. Haga. Nowadays, every shochet does it himself. So he says, lechat chila, every shochet himself, nowadays, we're all talmidei chachamim, right? Especially the shochetim nowadays. So you should definitely check it only erev yom tov. Don't wait for yom tov to check it. Check it erev yom tov. There's also a question, who's considered a talmidei chacham? Is every shochet nowadays a talmid chacham or not? That's a question. It's brought up. Okay, but miu imlo b'dako b'yom b'erev yom tov. But if you didn't check it erev yom tov for whatever reason, v'ushadat chak, and it's a shadat chak. You want to eat on yom tov, and you're stuck. You don't have another knife that was checked. Yachol b'dako b'yom tov. Since you're considered nowadays a shochet is considered a chacham, at least lagabe shechita knives. He doesn't have to bring it to someone else to check. He always checks it himself. So then, bishatat chak, you're allowed to. And then we're obviously just pointing out, we're discussing about the bedika beforehand. Whenever you do shechita, you have to do a bedika before and a bedika afterwards. You have to check the knife before and after. So we're talking about the one before. If it's afterwards, it's already done already. You already did the shechita. You don't need it anymore.
Does Muhammad agree to this, or you disagree?
Assuming he agrees. assuming he agrees. I don't know. Beis. Okay. Yachol laholich sakin v'abema etzel tabach lishchot v'afilu gedi katan shetzarech laholicho al ktefo v'alfal pi shehaya efshar laholicham me'etmo. Okay, so now you're allowed to carry, even in a Rishas HaRabim, you're allowed to carry a knife, you're allowed to carry the gedi on your back. Obviously, we're not talking about a cow, that's a little heavy, but a little kid that you can put on your shoulders, so that's not a problem. It's not, the whole case is we're not muksa. It has to be, so there's no muksa issues, and there's no hotza'a issues, because it's yom tov, and it's hotza'a is part of ochel nefesh. Even though you could have brought it, etmol, doesn't matter. Hotza'a is 100% mutter for ochel nefesh. V'hu hadin, she'atabach yachol laholi chasakan hasakin eitzel ha-behema. So you could also bring the knife to the behema to the shochet, both directions, there's no problem. Should we stop? Okay.